We're going to look at Psalm 29 quickly this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 29. One of the things that I enjoy here at camp when I'm here, and throughout my years of being a staff member here, I've enjoyed it. And I know, speaking with other staff, they all enjoy it, that when there's a big storm, we meet sometimes, if we can, if we're not on duty, at the back of the boathouse. And we watch that thing come over Mount 8. It's kind of exciting. Thunder and lightning. I mean, it's also kind of frightening. It's also a bummer for those who wanted to go to the beach. But the storms can pop up. And I've lived here for 4 years. I've lived up here. Storms can pop up all of a sudden, come over these mountains. But they're pretty awesome. And when it thunders, it echoes and bounces off these mountains, and it's tremendous to behold. And in this psalm, David, he's seeing God in the storms. I remember one winter when I was here, back in 1982. I was here before some of you were born. But this happened before you were born. I like to say it that way. It makes me feel mature. But one winter, it was pretty desolate during winter here. Even more desolate than it is now during winter. There seems to be more people who have moved up here all year round. Then the lake was dark. And it was a snow-covered full moon. Well, cloudy, but the moon was full. Clouds were moving in, and I decided to go out on Watch Rock, which is the peninsula. If you haven't been out there, I think most of you have. And you know, I thought it must have been maybe around 11:30 at night, and I decided to walk out there without a flashlight. I knew my way; I was very familiar with the path. Got out there, and awesomeness of a frozen lake and snow covered, and I was just taking it all in. And then the wind started picking up. You know, it went. And over Mount 8 came this snowstorm. And folks, you want to see something awesome? That storm just sort of came over that mountain, and you could see it moving across the lake. And I said, "This, you ever see something like that in nature? You say, this is too beautiful. I wish somebody was here to share this with me." I didn't have a camera. I just said, somebody else, how am I going to describe this? Because this snowstorm just coming over that mountain, and you could see the line of the snow and the winds blowing. And then I had this great revelation. It's going to blow me off of this rock, and they'll find me in Horicon somewhere, like a popsicle. You know? And it really, the wind picked up, the snow started beating me, and I had a beautiful illustration of what God means in the Bible by the cleft of the rock. Because you know that crevice? I got so scared, because I'm out there by myself. No one in the whole camp would know that I was gone. Not at least for 3 days. And I went down, and I said, I'm bunkering down in that crevice of that rock. And that storm came. It was awesome. Storms aren't awesome. Unless you're going through one, right? And I think we can get some help in this Psalm 29. Check it out. David, I don't know where he is. I don't know where he's positioned. Like I mentioned, we like to sit on the back of the Watch Rock or the back of the boathouse. I don't know where David was positioned, but he watched these storms come over the Mediterranean and head towards Lebanon and south towards Judah. He was just watching that storm travel when he relates this psalm to God's mighty power. But here's the thing I think we need to get before we read it. In David's day, the pagans, the Gentiles, they didn't see storms the same way. They saw storms as God's anger, his fierceness against them. They're not pleasing him. David, though, because he knew the true God, because he had a relationship with God, he didn't see a storm as a threat. He didn't see a storm as something because of the anger and displeasure of God. He was frightened by a storm, but he recognized it was just the awesomeness of God, the might and the power of a sovereign God. Big difference, isn't it? Look at verse 1. He just mentions there, "O you mighty ones." Different commentaries say, well, maybe he was talking to the princes and the kings of the earth so that they would learn. Others feel maybe the heavenly host. But you'll notice as we read this that throughout, he relates the thunder as the voice of the Lord. Keep that in mind. And let's follow through together. I'll read and let you follow along. Verse 1, Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Now I could just picture a big thunder clap. And David writes, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says what?
Glory.
Glory, right? Glory. The Lord sat enthroned on the flood. He was still in charge. He was still sovereign. He was still God. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless people with peace. Folks, what a great psalm. What a great psalm. The next time you're in a storm, maybe someone here today is, you're going through something. And some of you spoke with me, and I know you're going through something. I know that there's a tempest. I know things are rocking in your soul. I know what that's like. I love this psalm because David had a whole different perspective on things. He was frightened. Storms are scary. But he also recognized that there's a sovereign God behind it all. A majestic king. And every thunder and every fearful roll that goes through the heavenlies, it's just the sovereign, mighty power of God. So what happens with us? We need to recognize, why, God, you haven't abandoned me, you haven't forsaken me. Lord God, I might be frightened, I might not understand, I may feel totally helpless. That's how I feel in a storm, both natural and spiritually. I feel totally helpless, but I'm not abandoned. And David didn't feel abandoned. He saw the mighty power of God. I'll just close with this from what happened to the disciples in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. 25 tells us, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." What an important phrase or word of our Lord to get. And before we say amen and walk out of here, let him who have ears to hear, hear. Maybe you're not in a storm right now. Maybe you are. But the Holy Spirit wants to write something both on your mind and your heart. That the next time the winds pick up in your heart, in your soul, the next time the heavens are shaking, and you feel like everything underneath you is insecure, remember what Jesus said to his disciples in the middle of this storm. Look at it. Take a good look at it. Be of good cheer. Don't worry. Be happy. It's I. Don't be afraid. Folks, I've gone through some storms, and the Lord has written across my heart, and in my trembling, and in my fearing, and in my insecurity, my uncertainty, my questions, came forth the same voice of the Lord. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It's I. In the storm. Jesus is in the storm. He was there all the time. I couldn't see him. I was afraid. I might have been like the disciples thinking, all I see is a ghost. All I see is an idea. All I see is... But Jesus comes as a reality in the storm and says, it's I. Be of good cheer. And look, you know the story. Peter says to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Good response. If that's you, really you, Lord, then help me to come to you. So he does. Come, he says. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. And you know how he faltered a little bit. And Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Look at 33. Then those who were in the boat... Wait, I don't want to skip the important part, 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. That's good enough news, right? The wind ceased. The storm's over. The wind has stopped. The waves have stopped rocking. That's all good news, but there's better news. God's going to do in your storm. Hey, we're all thankful when the storm's over. Did you ever have a bad headache? It's miserable, right? But you know how it feels when the headache's gone? Am I the only one in the house that knows that? Look, and I ain't wanting a headache just to experience. But every time I've had a headache and it's gone, it's like, oh, you know, what a great feeling when God stills the storm and it's done. But there's better news than that. And look at it. 33, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. After every storm comes a greater revelation of Jesus. Doubts are dispelled. And you fall on your knees and say, God, I trembled, I feared, I couldn't see the end from the beginning, but now I know who you are in a greater way. That's pretty good news. And I thank God for it. So, we're going to have a prayer and head into this day. Do your duties, or if you're a guest, have your milkshakes. Whatever we need to do. But Lord is with us. Let's stand. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to your care this whole day. We commit those we've prayed for to your care. We trust you, Lord. We thank you that you are an awesome God. You are sovereign God of every storm. And we just give you praise and glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray this. Amen. God bless you.